started with this evening. Before our regular council meeting, we will have a public hearing. Public hearing is regarding ordinances C-23 and D-23 on our agenda tonight under old business. Does anyone here would anyone here like to speak to those two ordinances in a public hearing? All right, hearing none, the public hearing is closed, and we will begin then with our regular meeting. Welcome to our May 1st, 2022-23 regular meeting of Orrville City Council. We'll begin this evening in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to serve you and to serve the residents of our community through local government. We thank you for everyone that is here tonight, and we ask for your leadership and your wisdom as we conduct business here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If the clerk could please call the roll.
Hamburg.
Here.
Asparis.
Here.
Shanklin.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Carr.
Here.
Mosley.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Council should have received a copy of the meeting minutes from the April 17th, 2023 meeting. We have a motion to approve the minutes.
I move to approve the minutes.
Larson moves. Mosley seconds.
Asparis.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Thank you. We have no public comment on the agenda tonight, so we move on to our standing committee reports, and we'll begin with Parks and Recreation. And Mr. Hamburg, good evening.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. President. Parks and Rec has not met, therefore I have no report. We will have a Parks and Rec committee meeting on Monday, May 8th, which is next week, from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And the conversation will be around the launch of the Orrville Skate Park, and also the planning and execution phases of the Union Depot project.
Okay. Thank you. And our Utilities Committee, Mr. Shanklin.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Utilities Committee has not met, therefore I have no report.
All right, thank you. And our Ordinance and Personnel Committee, Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance and Personnel has not met, therefore I have no report.
Thank you. Transportation Committee, Mr. Mosley.
Thank you, Mr. President. Transportation Committee has not met, therefore I have no report. I just have a heads up to give the council. Past month and a half, I've been meeting with Jan Conrad in regards to transportation. She's looking to make some kind of countywide type program. And currently where we're at is eventually I'll be bringing the committee a survey to just to get out there to pretty much see what the need is for our constituents. So that's the first step for us to get involved is that committee.
Who is Jan Conrad?
She is in charge of transportation through Community Action.
Okay.
Currently, she's kind of taking lead with the, I'm not sure, one of the transportation units went down, or they're out of business over in Worcester, so they're trying to figure something out as a county item. Once I have more details, I have a survey, I plan to invite her to a committee meeting, kind of bring us up to speed. I just want to give that a heads up, so we're not sidelined when it comes up.
All right.
So with that, I have nothing else, Mr. President.
Okay, thank you. Our Health and Safety Committee, Mr. Spiras.
Thank you, Mr. President. Health and Safety has not met. Have no report for tonight.
Thank you. Our Planning Committee, Ms. Carr.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Planning Committee has not met. Therefore, I have no report.
And Finance, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Finance Committee has not met. I have
We have no special committee reports, so we'll move on to our administrative reports, and we begin with Mayor Handwerk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do have a couple of items, but I'm going to save those till after these gentlemen are done. I've asked two gentlemen to come to us from Columbus tonight. They made the trip up here just so they could speak to you. They're from WOTA. And they're here to address some concerns and rumors that are flying all over town about a project that they're looking to do just outside of our city limits to the east. And so they're going to give us a brief indication of what the project's about. And then if you guys have any questions, you can feel free to ask them.
Okay.
Mayor, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it. So I prepared our flip book, which has a presentation here in the folder. So I'll pass this out here. Thank you again, by the way, everybody, for your time. Appreciate the opportunity to be here today.
If you don't have enough, I have that one probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could use one for the file.
Sorry?
I could use one for the file.
Yeah, sure.
Copy of our flipbook, which is a brochure company. So,
did we get your name? I just want to make sure we have your name.
Sure. Jonathan McKay, Vice President of Development at Cooper Companies. And then with me today is Chris LeGrand, our corporate counsel. So, when you open the folder, you'll see the handout that we have prepared for you. So, again, thank you for your time. We appreciate this opportunity. Just a little bit about World of Cooper. We have over 16,000 units. That's covering over 350 properties, over 750 employees, and we're in 16 states. The property that you're likely the most familiar with is the Orchard Glen property, which I will speak to later. But I want to stress that, you know, we were founded in 1990. We're long-term owners of our properties. We often bring them refinance them in order to replace any major components that's with the property. We find that to be very important and a key to our success, and why we often are invited back or allowed to come back and develop something, second property in municipalities. Flip to the second page. Well, we are currently proposing, in terms of an application that is into the Ohio Housing Finance Agency, is Wilson's Crossing. So this is specifically age-restricted. It's going to be for seniors age 55 and over. We applied to OFA for the financing. We will find out here in about 2.5 weeks. That proposal includes 42 units, consisting of 12 one-bedrooms and 32 bedrooms. One of the things that I want to stress here in terms of the photos is that is Hayden House here. The Hayden House is very similar in terms of product type. It is also age-restricted. It's located in Springfield. We developed it in 2014. It was completed. It is a two-story elevator building, which the Wilson's Crossing proposal, which is located technically in Beaumont Township, around the edge of the Corp limit in the city of Oroville there, would include 44 units. Some things to keep in mind here in terms of the energy efficiency, the sustainability, or the green practices that we include in all of our developments, is this is LEED Silver certified. Some of the amenities that we include, which I think is important to highlight and point out, is we have washer dryer hookups in all the units. There is a laundry room at the property, community room, a grandkids room as well. There are interior and exterior security cameras for safety purposes. We also include universal design elements, meaning that the residents specifically can age in place, so zero step entries in terms of the showers. In addition to that, we do have on-site property management as well. If you go to the next page, what you'll see is on the top left, that is the typical community room that we have. Often this is rented out for birthday parties that the residents use. Family gatherings as well, so the when the grandkids come visit. To the top right, you'll see sort of a computer center that is an extension of the community room. So there's a couple laptops in there, and then also games, books for residents. The point of that is to facilitate the residents engaging so that they can have some time together. In the bottom left and in the bottom right, these are typical units. I'll point out here that these are Energy Star appliances. So again, long-term owners, durable products, making sure that this is high quality for potential tenants or residents. On the next page is Orchard Glen. So we developed, build, and currently manage Orchard Glen here, which is 32 units consisting of 10 3-bedrooms and 22 4-bedrooms. It was completed in 2009. So we are currently taxpayers here in the city of Warrville. The one thing that I do want to point out in this is that I did look up based on the current residents, because this often becomes a question that we receive, is where are the residents coming from? So based on the current rent roll, 20 of them are from the city of Warrville, 3 are from the city of Worcester, 2 are from Akron, and then there's 1 in terms of stragglers, in terms of Copley, Wadsworth, Shreve, Dalton, Rittman, Strasburg, and Coshocton. So predominantly Wayne County, Medina County, Summit County. In addition to that, on the following page, you'll see what the typical community building here, Orchard Glen, on the top left, and then the exterior of some of the units. I should point out that Orchard Glen, it is a general occupancy building, meaning non-age restricted. And in addition to that, you'll see on the following page what a typical kitchen looks like, dining room, and typical units, of course. So with that in mind, I'm sure there's some misconceptions that are out there about what exactly we do, what we build, who we serve. And so I wanted to just kind of stress and give a brief overview of the project, why we think it's important to the area, and why we think this would be a great asset for the locals here. But please, if you have any questions, comments, we're happy to answer any of those types of things.
Mr. Morrison.
I have a question, sir.
Sure.
How does the age restriction work? How is that implemented?
So it's mandated by the Ohio Housing Finance Agency, so the head of household has to be 55 and over. So you could have someone younger than 55 that's also living with that person, but there has to be a head of household that's 55 and over.
For the entire property?
Yes, all the units at the property.
Thank you.
There is an exception for disability under the law, so a disabled person would be able to move in at any age. But that's typical. That's the way the fair housing law works.
Okay.
My question was, why did you go with a senior-type housing rather than another development like Orchard Glen?
We thought it made most sense to have a senior property. What we do is we take OFA's policy objectives or their policy initiatives, because they essentially set the rule book or rubric and the guidelines. And so what we try to do as a developer is see what makes the most sense given OFA's policies, mirror that to the needs of the locality, and we thought that made perfect sense, so that's why we did it.
That project's more likely to be funded than others, yeah.
So sometimes that is the case versus a general occupancy or a family.
Yeah.
I had a quick question. You had touched on ownership versus management, I think, mm-hmm. at the beginning of your presentation. What percentage, I guess, of your portfolio is owned versus managed or owned and managed? And then second part is, how many employees would you have at this facility once it's up and running?
So we would have 1 on-site property manager, and then we also budget for a property maintenance in terms of the operating budget as well. So it will be 1 person that's full-time in terms of the property management. And then maintenance will most likely, I would think, be shared with the Orchard Glen property as on an as-needed basis. I wouldn't expect, you know, should this proposal be received well by OFA, that you wouldn't need a lot of maintenance items up front, obviously. But as the property ages, I would expect that to grow and the need to grow a little bit over time. And then in regards to your first question, I'm sorry, what was it?
Just own versus third-party management. Do you own everything in your portfolio? Or?
We do. So we own, develop, build, manage, and there's also an architectural firm as well that we utilize on all of the properties. So we don't. It's not something where we would just build it and then all of a sudden leave town or anything like that. We are long-term owners, and typically the initial compliance period is for 15 years, and then we commit to an additional 15 years on top of that. So the extended use period is a total of 30 years that we commit to. Now, that being said, I can say anecdotally, you know, we have properties that are reaching that 30-year life cycle, and in talking with Jeff Wode, our founder, you know, one of the things he's made clear to me is that he wants to bring it back through the program in order to replace those major life components that need to be replaced, then extend the life cycle of the property. So that's what we would look to do at that time.
Thank you.
Mr. Morrison.
Is there an income qualification for your residents? in order to get your financing.
Yes, there is an income qualification. So this property in particular, you'd be looking at 30% AMI to 70% AMI. What does that mean in terms of income? So if you're on a one bedroom, you're looking at 30% AMI, that's $16,830. If you're looking at 70% AMI and that two people in the unit, you're looking at $44,870. So the key thing to keep in mind here is that this is often people that are on Social Security or receiving some sort of pension. So in order to calculate that, the property management team would be looking back at your last 8 pay stubs. Do they have to be consecutive in order to determine what your actual income is?
You said east of town. Where precisely is it?
Just on Paradise Street, just outside the city limits. If you're familiar with the old Zimmerman landscape property,
yes.
It's still there with lots of stuff growing all over, but that's where this is.
Yeah, approximately 2886 is the address.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Mosley.
So, obviously, it sounds like this is right outside of city limits.
That's correct.
What interaction would this have with Orville, you know, with our government? And I mean, obviously, you can't tell you can't build out there. So, what resources would you need from Orville and the relationship? What does that relationship look like?
So one of the things is the utilities. We've talked about and gotten a letter the last 2 years. This is the second year of the application. We've talked with the utilities director, gotten a letter about the developer basically extending the utilities, providing a lift station, and then to where to connect in. In addition to that, we'd also be looking at potentially, and this is the discussion, if the project is obviously secures the necessary financing through OFA, but you know the potential is there for annexation as well, if that's something also that's on the table. We have not had those discussions by any stretch, but that is something that I think would be appropriate for conversation, obviously contingent on financing being secured.
So obviously we wouldn't be receiving taxes like the other one that's here in town, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Unless we start having those discussions about annexation.
Correct.
So, but obviously we'll be charging them for utilities, so correct?
That's correct, right. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, we built that into the operating budget in terms of the lift station, extending the utilities. We paid close attention to that.
Thank you.
So there was rumors going around. Is there any?
Well, yeah, just I was going to say, just to be clear, the fact that they are outside of city limits, I didn't ask these gentlemen to come because they need our approval. They don't. We don't have really anything to say about it. But there were many rumors going around town. There's a petition that a bunch of people signed. I don't know what they're telling people that sign it, because I haven't seen it, but pretty much about not wanting that there. And, you know, a lot of it's not in my backyard type stuff. Other stuff is there. It's just rumors. It's rumors about who's going to live there. It's, you know.
But just, there's nothing we could do.
Yeah, it's just not good. And so I wanted to just see if they could come up, and I don't know if you guys have been hearing anything or not. I don't know. Maybe you haven't. But if you have, just to give you a better idea of what the project is, if it does indeed go through, you know. So.
And this is also something, too, we like to at least let you know this is potentially on the radar. But obviously, in terms of the application, we don't know for sure until the financing is secured. So we thought, given a few weeks out here from the date, we thought it was appropriate to come to here and talk with you today.
So I just have a question. If somebody does get, somebody's coming around with one of these petitions or whatever, what would you respond? I don't know what they say, but maybe you've heard what the, you know, concerns are. What would your response be to whatever the concerns are that are being raised?
My response would be, and this is part of the reason why I wanted to talk about the rent roll and the current residents in Orchard Glen. I think that people tend to think that two things. One, these people either aren't working or they're going to be bused in from somewhere else. That's obviously not the case. You know, this is a population that exists, is currently here in the city. If someone does come from a more, a more populated city. Often it's because they're moving, because they're coming to be close to a family member. So in terms of income, I think in addition to that, you know, these are often people that are getting by on a pension. They're getting by, like I said, on Social Security. There aren't a lot of other means. And for them to have a high quality place to live is very important. And that's what we provide at the end of the day. So I understand that, you know, I'm not going to make everybody happy. There's going to be detractors, but I thought that was important just for us to give our side of it, just to respond to some of the things and the chatter that's out there that we've heard.
Well, everything in my experience has been the developments that have taken place so far seem to be very successful. You know, yeah, go ahead, Mr. Wilson.
I have another question. It's actually for Mr. Brediger related to utilities. This area is on the 201 map.
Yes, it's in our planning area, but the county still, they have a process that has them approve extensions of our service now. That's something that's relatively new to us in there. So we can extend service wherever it makes economic sense for us. So in this case, this is a from a utility perspective, a relatively small customer of ours. We really won't know that they're really a customer there. So we have plenty of capacity to serve them with water, sewer, and electric service there. But however way that those lines get to us, the county still gets engaged in approving development outside corporation limits just for water and sewer in here. So there, that would be a new step that would be part of this process. And that would be regardless of whether the utility was extending that or a private third party.
And in this case, they would build to our existing point of
right, and that's where the economics makes the most sense for the utilities. They will be building. Our lines are at the intersection of Wayne and in East Paradise. So the discussions that we've had with this group is they would build those, put that infrastructure in place, and we would allow them to tap into our water and sewer. We've had electric out around that that bend, serving that region for a long time. But we do not extend water out there. Well, there was an opportunity out there, depending on how this arrangements work, that those services could also be extended out to some of those residents in that area there too, that may be attractive for them. Whereas we would not purposely go out and build in there just because of the small usage and volumes involved in that. So we look at that as a positive piece for us from a utility perspective.
Thank you.
Yes,
if for some reason you have trouble filling the units, would you lift the restrictions that you have set forth?
No. That's mandated under the Qualified Allocation Plan, which is OFA's guidelines that we apply under. So no, it wouldn't be something where it could revert back.
Mr. Moses.
Just one last question I have. Orchard Clinic, what is turnover like? How are you guys doing over with that? I mean, honestly, from outside looking in, it looks great. I mean, it looks occupied, and he's another one that's down the line. But what's your vision?
I don't have the exact numbers in terms of the turnover, but I will get you the occupancy numbers so that you have them. But to my knowledge, it has stayed pretty much full throughout its history. But I'll get it for the last few years here, so you have a baseline.
Is there any plans in the future to either extend that and develop more back there, or have something else like that in the area?
We're always looking at every opportunity, so it changes so quickly based on what OFA's policies and initiatives are, but we certainly wouldn't be opposed to it, and we'd welcome the opportunity to look at any potential site in this community to do more.
Thank you.
Sir, Spears.
Thank you. What are some of the obstacles that you may encounter in acquiring the financing?
It's a highly competitive financial tool, meaning about just in terms of numbers, it's about 25% to 30% of applications are ultimately funded, and that's it captures the whole state of Ohio. Our track record is around 50%. So we don't come to a community lightly or come before you without thinking that it has a legitimate chance to be financed at the end of the day. We don't want to waste anybody's time. So when we think something works, we think we can do it as well or better than any other developer, that's why we come before you. So it's just the sure number of applications versus how many are funded at the end of the day. Typically, OFA gets about 80 applications, and out of those, about 20 to 25 are ultimately funded. So obviously, not the best odds.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Sure.
Should you be denied, is this something you'll be able to pursue in the future, or does it just end the dream there?
We were actually submitted last year, and we were denied, and we committed to the area. We were able to extend site control, so we brought it back this go around. This is the second year of their rule book, and it is changing for 2024. So that being said, that site, that area, it may score well enough to get funded. It may not. It really comes down to what OFA does in terms of their policies and objectives. That's why we thought it was important to strike now, because it was such a competitive score compared to other applications.
Thank you.
All right, very good. Thanks, Mr. McKay. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you again for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming in. And you guys feel free if you want to head back to Columbus now or if you want to stick around. It's pretty exciting stuff, so it's up to you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, yes, I did have two other things. Just briefly wanted to mention our Employee of the Month, which is Steve Carruthers from the Wastewater Department. And this is one of those instances where he's the only one left in that department that hasn't been the Employee of the Month. We've already got the few new ones that we've had the last couple of years. So he had to write his own little story here, so it's short. He didn't say much, but he said he's been with the water field in the water field for 36 years, starting out as an assistant operator on second shift. During those years, he had a small beef farm and kept very busy before his 4 to midnight shift. Working over the years, earning certifications, and finally earning a Class 4 in 2014. Steve and his wife, Missy, have 3 children, Courtney, Adam, and Andrew. And he came to us from the city of Worcester. He was one of our catches from Worcester when Bob Otten retired. So we're very grateful to have him with us. He does a great job for us. The other thing I have is just a proclamation. Some of you might be able to recite this with me. I don't know, but it's for the electric week, electric accidents and so forth. So just very briefly here, whereas hundreds of people die and thousands are injured each year in the United States as a result of electrically related incidents, and whereas property damage resulting from home fires caused by electrical failure or malfunction amounts to more than $1.4 billion annually, and whereas more than 6 people are electrocuted each week in the United States, and whereas citizens are advised to protect their homes and families with the latest safety technology such as ground fault circuit interrupters, arc fault circuit interrupters, and tamper-resistant receptacles. And whereas citizens are urged to install, test, and properly maintain an adequate number of smoke alarms, and whereas the Electrical Safety Foundation International, that's ESFI, is dedicated exclusively to promoting electrical safety in the home, school, and workplace through education, awareness, and advocacy. Now, therefore, I, David T. Hanworth, Mayor of the City of Oroville, Ohio, do hereby proclaim the month of May as Electrical Safety Month in the city of Oroville. And if you read and listen to some of those statistics, that's pretty serious stuff. It's almost as bad as watching the news at night. So people need to be careful. That's the whole point. Last thing is just we do have the plans ready to go for our train engine artwork, and so that's should be within the next 3 to 4 weeks. Hopefully we'll be ready to go with that. I think we're going to have some talk about it yet tonight here, but the lease thing is ready to go. Okay, that's all. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much. Any questions or comments? All right, we'll move on then to our Safety Service Director, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have bid openings this week on our asphalt street projects, so keep your fingers crossed for some competitive bids. Mayor Hamworth did swear in our newest police officer this morning, Michael Smucker. This brings our police department to full staff, which it's been a little while since we've had had that. Also, our new staff engineer, Abby Wilson, who is a PE, actually starts with us next week. She does plan to attend the Park and Rec meeting next Monday, so I'll introduce her at that time. And that's my update for this evening.
All right, thank you. Any questions, comments for Mr. Wheeler? All right, we'll move on to our Utilities Director, Mr. Redeker.
Mr. President, I have nothing of any significance from a utility perspective other than if you're holding on to these little gems, come July 1st, they will be banned. So if you have any of the incandescents, the CFLs, those little curly Q things, or any of the halogen light bulbs, kind of going forward, they will cease operation in the United States manufacturing these things. So in an effort to get everybody moving over to LED, the only way to do that is to ban these little guys. So eBay,
and when you say ban, it just means you're not going to buy them.
Alibaba. Now, they didn't say what they would do to retail stores that were still selling them between now and then, but been officially put on notice. That's my, that's all I have for you tonight.
All right. I'm going to stay out of jail, so thank you. All right, our finance director, Ms. Strimlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just one quick comment this evening. I will be sending out the 2024 budget schedule by the end of the week. The budget, the approved budget, does need to be returned to the county by July 20th. So after you've got a chance to review the schedule, if you have any conflicts with the dates, if you could let me know so we can make alternate arrangements to meet the deadline. So that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Our law director, Mrs. Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report this evening.
All right, thank you. I made mention to council prior to our meeting, but I just want to let the public know there's been a lot of talk about chicken legislation, stuff that city councils deal with. I know a lot of people are interested in that, so I just wanted to let the public know that council is reviewing legislation that will be introduced at our next meeting. And if you are interested in that or have any questions or comments, please reach out to either the administration or to a city council representative. And if necessary, we could have a committee meeting and answer more questions there. But anyway, that legislation is on the way. So. All right, we can then proceed in our agenda to old business. And Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance C-23, I move this ordinance be placed on second reading.
Second, Mr. Hamworth.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Orson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hamworth.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Ordinance C-23, an ordinance amending the zoning map created by Chapter 1101 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Oroville, Ohio, to reclassify a parcel of land located on the west side of Crown Hill Road, parcel number 59-00325.000, consisting of a frontage of 120 feet and a depth of 200 feet in the city of Oroville, Ohio, from C1 commercial to R1 residential.
Any questions or comments? I know we've discussed this a few times so far. If not, we'll move on.
No discussion.
Doesn't appear to be any.
Okay. I move the rules, regulations, and statutes.
We have to go three reasons.
It has to go three?
Okay. For zoning,
thank you. Ordinance D-23. I move this ordinance be placed on second reading.
Second, Carr.
Second, Ms. Carr.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Ordinance D23, an ordinance amending the zoning map created by Chapter 1101 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Mooreville, Ohio, to reclassify a parcel of land located at 1731 Andover Road, parcel number 59-02970.000, a 2.2760-acre lot in the City of Mooreville, Ohio, from R4 residential to R1 residential.
Any questions, comments? All right, thank you. We'll move on then in our agenda to new business.
Resolution 1723. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Mosley.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hambrick.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Resolution 1723. Authorizing the Safety Service Director to enter into a contract to provide for tax abatement for real property for Jarrett Companies Incorporated and Zeldom LLC and declaring an emergency.
Very good. Discussion, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a request for a 10-year 50% abatement to construct a 90,000 square foot addition, 93,000 square foot addition to their existing warehouse on Main Street. The abatement does create 4 new jobs. Diane Jarrett is here if you would like her to come up and kind of talk about the project, if that's okay.
Sure, yeah.
Good evening, everybody. Probably most of you know the location of this, 1781 North Main Street. It is the third phase of our warehouse development there, and we have just expanded the business or the buildings there as the business growth has allowed it and demanded it. The last phase that we finished within the last, 6 months was filled by the time the final inspection was completed, filled by commitment. So we probably have about 15 unique customers that we do warehousing services for, located throughout the U.S. And as you know, anytime you can do business with people outside of this area and import money into the community, it's a good thing. So we're happy to do that. Some of these customers we provide integrated logistics services to also, and some of them are only warehousing customers. So I will entertain any questions if anybody has any. Yes.
Thank you. What direction off the existing buildings will this addition be built?
It is our last opportunity going west, so it's going to continue on that line.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Is this cold storage as well, I believe?
It's not.
Okay.
In the wintertime.
Yeah, the wintertime. Yeah, just leave the door open. Yeah. Mr. Mosley.
Just a quick question on Zeldom. Is that another entity of yours, or is that someone?
That's us.
That's you. Okay. Understood. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Did we pronounce that right?
You did.
Okay.
Got you.
Anyone else? All right, thank you, Mrs. Jarrett.
Thank you.
Is this something the administration is wanting to pass tonight? Or?
We would prefer if it was passage tonight. It can go additional readings if council would prefer. Obviously, they're ready to kind of break ground at once the agreement is approved.
Very good.
Knowing Jarrett to be a good corporate friend of the city, and we're always grateful for their willingness to expand within the city as well, and also knowing supply chain issues that affect every level of manufacturing from building buildings on up, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on 3 separate days be suspended.
Those in seconds.
I believe Mr. Shanklin was in first. Yeah. Mr. Shanklin seconds first.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hambrick.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
I move resolution 1723 be adopted as read.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hambrick.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
Resolution 1823. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Hamburg.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Ms. Barrett.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
Resolution 1823, a resolution authorizing the Safety Service Director to enter into a contract to provide for tax abatement for real property for MGAN LLC and Baker Corporation and declaring an emergency.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a partnership between two companies currently in the industrial park, Beckert and Animal Supply, under the name MGAN on this agreement. They're partnering on a 40,000 square foot warehouse. The abatement will create four new jobs. It's a 10-year 50% abatement. Clancy Lavins is here from Animal Supply and would like to make his presentation tonight if that's okay with council.
Be great. Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity to meet and present our project. My name is Clancy Lavins, and this is my wife, Molly Lavins, my business partner. We have three locations that we have been able to manage and build here in the city. And as stated, we were the past owners of Wholesome Pet Distributing that sold to Animal Supply. So we have engaged in a conversation and partnership with the Becker Company to build a 40,000 square foot facility for them on Collins Boulevard in order to be able to help them continue to build within their facility. Becker, if you're not familiar with them, they are a global company that specializes in the steel transformation business. They do the wire in radio tires as well as telecommunication wire and other uses for steel wire products. So approximately a third of all tires across the entire world have Beckert steel in those tires. We met with Otto Zimmerman, who is the general manager of the building, when we were looking at the building across the street, which is a neighbor to our building on Collins Boulevard as well, to understand that. And when we were looking at the building, Otto expressed to us that that building unfortunately did not meet their needs. And as a result, they were having to utilize space outside the city in one location and another location inside the city, and that it would make them more competitive and more efficient and provide higher level of safety and less administration costs if they were able to consolidate that facility into one location instead of three locations. So there is a lot that was available adjacent to with the Beckert Company that we were both familiar with. So we understood that there was a good opportunity in order to be able to fulfill that need and help Beckert out with that. So we moved forward on that. We started a conversation almost a year ago. And unfortunately, when you're trying to build a project such as that with steel prices going up almost double, concrete prices going up 30%, we all know what labor has gone through and interest rates. It took us a while to put together the program that actually worked for them and for us, but we're very happy to say that we were able to make that happen. As a small operation, we are very nimble, and we're able to do some things that larger companies probably would not have been able to do just because of higher overhead, et cetera. So, and Becker decided not to build it themselves because they would rather invest their dollars into technology and innovation, which is creating more jobs for them as well. So we were very happy to partner with them, and it's right around the corner from where we are as well. So very easy for us to be able to do so. Regarding employment, we mentioned or stated that four jobs will be created. There will also be 11 jobs that will be kept in the city as well. And the reason it's 11 is if the company were to use full outside services, managing and putting away steel and the safety precautions that go with that require a high level of specialty. So if that went away from Beckert, they would have to incur a lot more expense with a third-party warehouse company in order to be able to manage that for them. So it made a lot of sense for them to build that facility, keep the jobs, make themselves more competitive, not having to reduce costs, to eliminate the jobs to be able to offset that higher labor requirement. So so Otto committed that it would be very beneficial for his company, from a retention, but also from a more competitive perspective as far as being able to add more jobs in the future as well. So, again, we appreciate any support that you can provide to us in the form of the tax abatement, and we really, really appreciate the time and are happy to answer any questions that you may have for us as well.
Yes, Mr. Wilson.
This will be used for warehousing?
It will be used for warehousing, yes. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your business and what you, why you need this warehousing space.
We actually don't. We were looking at purchasing the 515 to partner with. We own the Sunoco building, which used to be Sunoco. It's now DNS on Collins Boulevard. So when we owned Wholesome Pet Distributing, we were very fortunate to be able to grow that business very rapidly. So we purchased that building, invested dollars in it to revitalize that building, and then we outgrew that building. And then we were able to build the animal supply building for a company as well across the street from Ventrac on Commerce Boulevard. So in the dialogue with neighbors in the area, it provided an opportunity. We saw Beckert as a company that was going to be around for a long time, and Oroville as a great place to invest. So we both decided to partner with Beckert. We were able to put together a good partnership. So it was a good business opportunity.
Anyone else?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if there's any more questions, but we just want to thank you. It's a good idea, great investment, and again, you're helping another company out. And you know, same thing with the Jarrett's back there, building more space for people to warehouse stuff. It's really important right now. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can you remind me of the terms of the abatement again?
10 years, 50%.
Thank you. Again, this seems like a great opportunity for Oroville to grow, especially within our industrial park. When we have thought very often that there isn't any room to grow anything out there anymore. Again, seems like a good opportunity, and I think that we should get moving as quickly as possible on this. I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Carr.
Second, Ms. Carr.
Ms. Ferris?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hamburg?
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
I move resolution 1823 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Shanklin.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Ms. Ferris.
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
Resolution 1923. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Ms. Ferris.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
Resolution 1923, a resolution authorizing the Board of Control to enter into an agreement and or agreements with a state purchasing cooperative to purchase one 2023 or 2024 Ford Police Interceptor Utility D6 all-wheel drive vehicle, or alternatively, to purchase said vehicle from another dealer upon equivalent terms, conditions, and specifications, but at a lower price than it can be purchased through a state contract as allowed by Ohio Revised Code Section 125.04, or alternatively, to procure quotes and enter into an agreement and or agreements for said purchase and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. This has become our annual scouring of the Midwest for a police cruiser. This year is very similar to the last couple of years in regards to just looking for available cruisers. We've already been advised by the company that has the Department of Administrative Services contract with the state of Ohio that it is unlikely all of their orders will be filled by Ford. As a result, Captain Pauley and Chief Birkbeck have started reaching out to other local Ford dealerships, and have also reached out to the dealership in Indiana that we purchased from last year. So We are on the hunt. That is why the resolution is wrote as vaguely as it is and basically says, hey, wherever we can find one, we're going to take it as long as it's within our price range. So we are cautiously optimistic that we are going to be able to find one. We think we may end up back in Indiana again this year, but I did want to get this moving forward from a legislative standpoint so that if we do happen to find one, we'll be able to move forward with it fairly quickly. So I would much appreciate approval tonight if possible. It is budgeted within the capital budget. It is also part of our capital replacement plan for vehicles with the police department, so it's all part of the annual purchases. We are still optimistic that it will be within the budgeted amount as well.
Yes, Mr. Worsen.
Will a cruiser be retired as a result of this, or?
Chief, we are planning to keep it as a result of the additional SRO that is coming on board. So our plan is to have all the SROs will have the older vehicles, if you will, at the school, and then so we do plan to retain it.
That's a great opportunity for there to be a vehicle available to each officer that can be called into duty at any given time.
Yes, sir. We've talked quite a bit about that in regards to our plan for potentially big situations in regard to, at that point, you need everyone in a vehicle, whether it's a missing child, gosh forbid, or what have you, that everyone has their own crews and we're able to kind of spread out rather than sharing vehicles at that point.
What is the head count now? We're moving over to SUVs, all-wheel drive SUVs. We still have, is there an Explorer out there somewhere?
There is still an Explorer, the older Explorer, which is that's 10 years old, 12 years old now.
And is that it?
Yeah, and then we do have one cruiser left.
We still have a few cruisers. We haven't have an old Crown Vic.
I forgot about the Crown Vic, jeez. The rookie gets the new Crown Vic.
It's a rough ride.
Well, I can say that this is a fantastic program, and again, as Mr. Wheeler said, this is something that we do every year, and it's served us very well in keeping our fleet modern and fairly maintenance-free. And I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Shanklin.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hambrick.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
I move resolution 1923 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Mosley.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hambrick.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Resolution 2023. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Hambrick.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hambrick.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Resolution 2023. A resolution of Orrville City Council authorizing the mayor of the city of Orrville, Ohio, to enter into a lease agreement with Scott H. Schafter and Jennifer L. Schafter for the lease of an exterior wall space and declaring an emergency.
Questions, comments, discussion?
Mr. Wheeler, I think it must have been you first that had the idea of maybe we can lease that building and make things a lot more clear and easy. Mrs. Kirkbride has done the lease for us, has that all worked up. I've talked with the owners of the Pavilion Insurance Building, which is Scott and Jennifer Schaefer, and they're on board with the idea too. That way it gives us the ability to go ahead and do the project, get it done. This, just as a reminder, is the engine picture that will be on there. It's 14 feet high and 40 feet wide. So we're real excited about it, and I know they are too. After tonight, if it's approved, I think it goes one more time to Design Review Board next Thursday. And then we would actually be able to get started, and hopefully by then we'll actually have weather that would allow us to get started. So right now, even if we were allowed to, the weather has made it almost impossible to do it anyway, so coming along.
So what's the new cost of the project then, you anticipate?
Well, we're painting the side of the building. Actually, we all kind of felt like the way that looks now, the worst part of the building is the part that'll show. That will be above the actual picture. So we're painting that. That I think is $5,900 maybe. Dave Corbett here in town will be doing that, but they're going to power wash the side of the building first, prime it, and finish coat at recommendations of Councilman Handwork from the paint master over there. We'll be doing that, and then after that it's a matter of Kristen has got the picture done, the lettering's all ready for it, and then it's a matter of just getting that to Ben Harbaugh, who would get that to the vinyl company. They enlarged the picture to put it on the vinyl, and then Jeff and I were down in Columbus last week for an AMP meeting downtown Columbus, and it was really kind of a neat time to be down there because I had a chance to drive. Jeff was driving, so I got to look out the window. So many of the big buildings downtown Columbus have these exact same things on, because now that I know how they're going to attach them on the building, I was looking for that. And about every foot, you could see the little spring-loaded thing that's on the building. And they put them in the mortar of the building, so it's not going through the block. And they look great. I mean, the color is great on them. The pictures look good. They're nice and flat against the building, so we're really excited. Should be a neat addition to the depot area down there.
Well, if you take a look at that wall, I never really noticed it before, but it's, now that you look at it, you realize, wow, what an improvement that's going to be.
Oh, yeah. It'll help a lot.
Yeah. Any other questions or comments?
Yes, Mr. Mosley. Just one minor question. What does a lease term on a building like that look like? Is it kind of like indefinite years?
We did, I believe, as a five-year lease, automatically renewed.
Awesome.
And I think it's $120 a year.
I like that.
Basically, it would give the city down the road, if they decide to scrap the project, they can get out of it. And if the owners of the building, even if it's a new owner, if they decide they don't want that on there anymore, they could do that too. Otherwise, you know, both groups were kind of like, well, what happens if they decide they don't want this or that? And I don't think that'll happen, but that was just a good thing to have made up their lease for it. So,
awesome. Mr. Shanklin.
If for some unforeseen reason that a windstorm comes and does some damage to the side of the building, would that lease agreement cover that, or would that come back on the city's insurance?
Sure.
I think we would have to fix that as the city for putting that up there.
You're talking about the banner, or you're talking about the wall itself?
The wall.
We don't have any responsibility other than the maintenance and upkeep for the purposes of the use of the space. So we don't have any structural, unless there's something that we do that of course causes that problem. But we have kind of mutual responsibilities and also indemnification, so that neither side is going to be liable to the other for acts beyond their control.
This resolution is a little different than the previous one, and I know the question Mr. Larson has is whether or not he needs to abstain from voting on this. So if we could just give some clarification.
We actually discussed this. So because this lease is really independent of his involvement with the art itself, I don't believe there's a reason why he would need to abstain unless he feels differently.
I agree.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. I guess one thing that's missing from this discussion is just for the general public to know, this is that giant wall that faces west, and when you're at Ribfest or whatever, it's a big, nasty brown and mortar wall right now, and I think it's a great addition of public art to a public space. And I know, too, that when this was discussed before, the hope was to get things in order and get them in place before festival season takes place this summer. And to that end, knowing supply chain issues and things that come up, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Ms. Carr.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Espiers?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
I move that resolution 2023 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Hamburg.
Espiers?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hamburg?
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
Thank you. That concludes tonight's new business. Do we have any comments for the good of the order? Mr. Larson.
I will say that in all these years, Mr. Brediger never brought a prop to the meeting before.
Yeah.
A light bulb.
Mm-hmm. A soon-to-be banned light bulb. Yeah, so. All right, hearing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Larson moves.
Second.
Hamburg seconds.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Espiers.
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
Thank you. The Parks and Recreation Committee will meet next Monday, May 8th at 7 p.m. The next regular meeting for Orgrove City Council is May 15th, 2023, right here. Until then, we are adjourned. Thank you and good evening.